This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to Automotive Field Theory, where I explore the systems, principles, and forces shaping our profession. I'm Matt Fonslow, and I reject your reality and substitute my own. That and more after a word from our sponsors, Pico Technology and Autel. Tired of guesswork in your auto diagnostics? Need to pinpoint faults quickly and accurately? Picoscope will turn your PC into a powerful diagnostic tool. See live waveforms from sensors, injectors, and ignition systems. See the problem? Solve it faster. Visit PicoAuto.com. That's PicoAuto.com. Autel delivers award-winning automotive diagnostic tools trusted by technicians across North America. Backed by Autel North America experts in sales, training, and technical support. From drivability diagnostics and TPMS service to ADAS and advanced safety systems, Autel helps technicians follow OEM procedures and repair with confidence. Learn more at Autel.com. As many of you probably already know, I did a podcast with Carm on Carm's show with Keith Perkins, and we talked about procedures, speaking almost entirely of ADOS, but I had brought up a comparison or analogy, if you will, really a comparison to a system that's not necessarily ADOS. I brought up particularly like caliper plate bolts being required to be replaced on Fords. Are Fords the only vehicles that require such things? No. But it was just an example. It's off the cuff. So there's a video short of that. And it's got a lot of comments. And I suppose a lot is a relative statement, but still. It seems that there's a lot of us way okay with coming up with our own ideas of what's okay or good enough. And I struggle with that because it really has nothing to do with knowing better or not. The problem is, I guess the way I see it, and I think I mentioned it in the podcast, is I've had car insurance since I've been in high school. I've never used it, but I pay it every 6 months. I umbrella it with my home insurance, because what do I do in the event of an accident that there's a helicopter ride involved? I mean, I don't know, buy the insurance for hopefully the vast majority of the days I'm driving, or I guess even somebody's driving my vehicle. I'm buying it for that really bad day. That may or may not be my quote unquote fault, but my insurance company's involved. So the service information says to remove bolts and discard. It doesn't tell us why. There, I have found zero information from Ford in this case saying why. And maybe there is. Maybe one of you is listening to this and rolling their eyes. And if you would please, pretty please, seriously, if you would find it in your heart to link me to the document, because I can't find it. I've tried. I've spent a lot of time on Ford service, Motorcraft service, but the Ford service version. And I've emailed and text messaged friends that Ford dealers, and we have yet to find the document that basically says why those bolts need to be replaced. Or if no new bolts are available, can you just reuse the old ones? Because it seems like the idea is the requirement to reuse them is that they want either whatever coating on the bolt itself or the Loctite, thread locker, I should say. Maybe that's true, but where does it say that? We're not doing this because, again, like we know better. Because on that bad day, again, just like the video or the short, the bad day ends up somebody at best has to have their vehicle towed in. At worst, I mean, where can our imaginations go with how bad it could be? And then just that happening would be awful. Now we're in a courtroom. I don't know, how do you stay out of the courtroom? because your insurance might be pressured to cover, and maybe they are required. I don't know. But if there's negligence, they may countersue for that. They may come back at the shop for negligence. Maybe this isn't something I should be talking about because I don't know for sure. And I'm even more positive it varies by state. But man, oh man, the comfort level. Where all it flat out says in service information, remove and discard. Doesn't tell you why. Doesn't give you a link to a bulletin or a message. You know, in Ford's case, it'd be what, a special service message? Giving you the workaround. Giving you the, hey, sorry, we're out of them. Or you don't really need to. Just here's another way. It doesn't seem to be all bolts. And it does seem like there are fasteners where there's suggestions to replace, but maybe, you know, they let on that you can reuse them, but here's the criteria. But for that suggestion or really for that comparison I made, I've yet to see anything that says anything, but you take the old ones out, get rid of them, and you get new bolts and you put them in. And yeah, I don't know if they don't have them. Are there specifications on those bolts where we could get the same bolt, just not from Ford? I don't know. I can't think of a time where we've had an issue getting the bolts. So that's new one. That's a new one on me. I don't know how to answer that. We do the jobs and the bolts come either with the components we're replacing, pads or calipers, or we call the Ford dealer, or yeah, who calls anymore, right? Repair Link, order them. They're there. We just don't mess around. But the comfort level, the confidence just blows my mind. Where does that stop? Another comparison comes to mind is tire plugging. You know, with like the rope plugs. Talked about this before. There are millions and millions and millions of miles. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Like there's millions of miles on tire plugs. Problem free. They worked perfect. They plugged the hole and the tires were eventually replaced because they wore out. Problem free. But then there's the ones that didn't. There's precedents, right? There's legal precedents where those plugs were used. And the shops that did that got sued and lost. What is there to say? There isn't a tire, or at least a major tire manufacturer in the world that approves of tire plugging, right? There's the plug patch and seals. What do they call them? Patch and seals, plug and seals. It's an ordeal to put them on or in, right? Like the tire's coming apart. It's coming off. It's getting prepped. There's a plug portion that goes through the hole and then vulcanized to the inside of the tire, like a patch. And that's only approved in certain areas of the tire. So we're okay just plugging the tire. It's risk management, right? And I guess there's many, 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 many professionals who would not condone or be very supportive of a shop or specialist using a plug repair. I guess it's risk management. If that's what you're going to do, you're taking on the risk. But why are we so okay with that? That just seems like major, just egocentric bias, heavy on the ego. Like, and when brought the facts of the matter with, again, there's legal precedents. It's not hard to find examples of repair facilities being sued and losing and using these repairs that are not approved by that specifically either the car manufacturer, vehicle manufacturer, or part manufacturer, if you will. Man, we're okay with it and willing to, I don't know so much about die on the hill, but argue. Is your shop ready for the electric vehicle revolution? Don't get left behind. The Picoscope EV Kit is your all-in-one solution. Diagnose any electric or hybrid vehicle, from high voltage batteries to complex communication systems. With guided tests and pinpoint accuracy, you'll tackle more jobs and boost your bottom line. This isn't just a tool, it's your future. Be the expert in EV repair.
Visit PicoAuto.com to future-proof your shop today. That's PicoAuto.com.
Autel is a global developer and manufacturer of award-winning professional automotive diagnostic tools and service equipment, trusted by technicians, educators, and shop owners across North America. With diagnostics at their core, Autel's real-world solutions support repair workflows ranging from full-system vehicle diagnostics to servicing the most advanced automotive technologies. What sets Autel North America apart is the team behind the tools. Dedicated experts across sales, training, and technical support, each bringing deep, hands-on experience supporting professional technicians. When questions arise, you're working with people who understand the vehicles, the procedures, and the real-world demands of modern repair. Whether diagnosing complex drivability concerns, servicing TPMS systems, validating repairs, or working with ADAS and advanced safety technologies, Autel tools are engineered to support accurate, efficient repairs in strict accordance with OEM procedures and standards. To learn more about Autel and their diagnostic solutions, visit autel.com, AUTEL.com. It reminds me of the beginning of ADAS when, you know, outside of the dealer world, independents were starting to do calibrations. And there was a big, big argument, debate between using OE targets, OE scan tools, OE service information versus aftermarket. And I felt like I definitely understood the position of those who were OE, pro OE, or felt like we should be doing 100% OE. That isn't unreasonable. With the aftermarket, depending on the systems, of course, I also felt it was logical with the aftermarket. In some cases, the aftermarket seemed better, more accurate. Yeah, in some cases, quite a bit faster, but in a lot of cases too, faster. Pete and Repe are sitting in a boat. Pete jumped out. Who's left? So they were faster. Aftermarket could be faster. Many times was faster. But then they could be also much more accurate. And I mean, we're talking about lasers versus strings. Well-built metal stands versus PVC or wood. It's true. Like some of the OE targets were PVC and some were made of wood. And that's the OE tool. So I'm not like trying to dump on it, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with dumping on the aftermarket version that was arguably better. But the position of using the OE was sensible. There's logic to it. And I guess why I'm bringing this up is it really never made sense to me that if you were pro aftermarket to just get really wound up and tell people that were doing it the OE way, they were doing it wrong. That doesn't make any sense. We're doing it the way the manufacturer approved or directed, published. That's a pretty strong defense against pretty much anything is, did you do this calibration? Did you do it right? Yeah, here's the data. Here's the photos of me using the OE equipment. Here's the results. Game, set, match. Do I think in a lot of those cases, if you had a quality aftermarket system, if you're using the Autel system, are you really in danger? I just don't think so. I think you could demonstrate the quality. And plus, I think the manufacturer would be almost forced, meaning Autel. They're almost forced to get involved to demonstrate that their equipment does the job as well or better than the OE. It would only make sense, right? But with risk management, could you at least sympathize with the OE people? For sure. That's the information. That's right out of the service manual, right? So I guess I just don't know, one, where we got, not so much we, but seemingly so many have so much confidence in veering away from the book. And I'm not saying that we follow the book all the time. Like, there's strong arguments from breaking away from trouble trees, right? If you understand how the system really works. But in that case, veering from the book, the bad thing would be misdiagnosis. And then now it's not so much that you've misdiagnosed it. I mean, that sucks. But where the issue would be is if the customer is paying for that misdiagnosis. That's not the same as I'm deciding to veer away and not use processes that hold the car together. Is it hypocritical or double standard to have a procedure of, again, different bolts, the reusable kind, where there's nothing in service information about using any sort of a thread locker, but it's on a component that vibrates or, you know, is subjected to vibration and movement, that if we add a thread locker to it, that's veering from the book too. So should we not do that? You know, is that an argument? And I'm not sure it really is. What would the argument be that you've now went away from the service information, arguably made the repair more higher quality or longer lasting, more rigorous, versus foregoing or ignoring the recommendations in a way that weakens the repair? Again, when it just tells you to remove a component and discard it, remove a fastener and discard it, what's left? Like, how do you determine why they want you to do it? And then where is it published to cover you? If it is, then that's much different. Like, if there is literally a component, or a paper out there, literature out there from the car manufacturer. In this case, we're talking about Ford. I'm not dumping on Ford. It's just the example that flat out says, hey, you can reuse these. They need to have, you know, this coating and this thread locker. Now they're reusable. Fine. But where is it? And if you're the one that's okay reusing them, why run down the ones that are just following the manual? Like, what sense does that make? And it goes to some of the comments that we saw with Keith's short from a separate podcast he did, talking about calibrations not being done on his vehicle from a dealer. There's many comments on there saying they've never had to do such a thing. They don't need to do it. It's just a cash grab. Flat out talking or devaluing, degrading specialists that are following service information. What sense does that make? I can't wrap my head around it. I don't think it's all that great that you're okay not doing whatever, following the service information yourself. I don't agree with it. And I don't think there is any logic to it. I don't think I can wrap my head around the reasoning, the justification of degrading those that would follow service information. Somebody's doing things the right way and we're going to run them down. What? I don't know if there's even an answer in all that, but it is really a question of risk management. What is it worth? And where are we okay deviating? And how are we deviating from service information? And then again, like so many examples, personal protective equipment. You don't wear it for normal days. You wear it for that really, really bad day. If you're out in the woods cutting down all those dead ash trees from the EAB Emerald Ash Borer and not wearing a helmet, you might get away with it. But you don't wear a helmet for all the days that you would get away with it. You wear it for that day there's that widowmaker that's making its way towards your head. I guess that's my thought process with service information. When it tells me to discard something, don't reuse it, or torque it to this amount, and prep it this way before you torque it, or whatever that procedure is, following it is for that really bad day. So yeah, I guess on that severe disappointment, that's how I'll leave you. I really look forward to comments on this. If there is a link that I missed or documentation that I missed, if you could hook me up, I have no problems admitting I'm wrong. I have to do it all the time. I'm still married. So if you know, you know. All right. Thank you again for listening. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Autel and Pico Technology. Thank you to the Automotive Repair Podcast Network for letting me change the name of my podcast and letting me do this. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Automotive Field Theory with Matt Fonslow on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at arpn.app because the best conversations in the industry start here. Want Matt to cover a specific topic? Well, check the show notes for his email. Your input matters.